Thank you, Miley. That song goes quite well with what the Lord laid on my heart this morning. There's a lot of people today that are depressed, that are downtrodden, that are discouraged, that feel like the world is against them, feel like God is against them. But I'm here to tell you that it's going to be okay. If your faith and your trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be okay. It does nothing but get better from here. Let's pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, thank you for another day to be in your house. A day, Lord, that we can worship you and praise you and look into your word. Lord, I pray that you would just guide the thoughts and the words that come out of my mind and my mouth this morning, that I would only say the things that you want to be said. I know that there's somebody either here in person or listening online that needs this message today. Lord, you just touch their hearts. Speak through us your word, and we'll praise you and thank you for everything that you do. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Lamentations today, chapter 3. And I want to give you a little bit of background before starting reading the scripture. Lamentations was written, most people would agree, by Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet. The Bible, a lot of people refer to him as the weeping prophet. He preached, he prophesied for years and years and years and begged the people of Judah and Israel to turn back to God. And yet they wouldn't. They continued down the path of idolatry and turning away from God and worshiping false gods. And God told him, he said, I'm going to bring a judgment upon the nation if they don't turn, and they didn't. So Jeremiah was down because of the events that had taken place. So the year that this is written is probably somewhere around 586 BC. During the time prior to that, Israel had become a divided kingdom. You had 10 tribes to the north that were Israel, and then you had Judah to the south. Both nations had rebelled against God and were in the midst of his punishment and his judgment. Israel, the northern tribes, were defeated and destroyed by the Assyrians in around 722 BC, several years before this writing takes place. Later on, Babylon, under King Nebuchadnezzar, beginning in around 606 BC, invaded Jerusalem, Judah, and they took the best and the brightest captive. You might remember the story of Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, who we know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were taken. They were taken away into Babylon captivity. And so were the other young, healthy, the ones who didn't fight in the battle and were killed. The warriors were taken into Babylon. This happened over a period of years for another two or three times. Each time they would come back, they would take captive the brightest and the best, the most athletic, the most promising minds, and they took them. So in this time frame of 586 BC, the only people that are left in Jerusalem were the weak, the sick, the crippled, or the ones that were just too old to be of any use to their captors in Babylon. The temple was destroyed. The walls of the city were broken down. It might look like something you would see in a science fiction movie, a post-apocalyptic world, a bombed out city full of rubble and disease and people scavenging for everything that they had. Jeremiah was still there. He was still preaching to the people. What was he preaching now? What could he have left? They were in the midst of judgment. God promised them that this judgment would last for 70 years. They were about halfway through that. So they still had 35, 40 years left on the judgment before later on Ezra, Nehemiah, and those would come back, being sent to come back to rebuild the temple and the walls. So they've got nothing to look forward to in their own mind. Jeremiah feels like he did God's bidding, and now he's been deserted by God, maybe even being punished by God. And I noticed in the song, if you read the words that Molly was singing, I blame myself, but if I'm honest, I blame you too. And I think that's where Jeremiah was. And maybe some of you all were there. Maybe things are going on in your life right now that you don't understand. And maybe you're blaming yourself. You feel like God is judging you. Or maybe you feel like God is punishing you. And you don't understand. You're downtrodden and you're discouraged and you don't know where to turn. Jeremiah wrote this book of Lamentations. The word lament means to cry out with great sorrow and mourn. He was in mourning. Let's read the first 20 verses of Jeremiah chapter or Lamentations chapter 3. And just hear the anguish in his voice as he writes these words. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me, made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me, surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places, like the dead of long ago. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. He has been to me a bear lying in wait, like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me up as a target for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quivers to pierce my loins. I have become the ridicule of all my people, their taunting song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity, and I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. What do you think Jeremiah's state of mind is as he wrote these words? He is really down. He's down on God. He's down on life. He's down on everything. He can't even remember a time of hope and prosperity anymore. He feels that God is against him. Maybe some of you feel like that. Maybe things have gone on in your life. I mean, we're in the midst of a global pandemic. Things are crazy. Things are so different. Life is not like it was this time 1 year ago. Things are different. The culture has changed. Some of you have lost jobs. I lost a job. Some of you have lost loved ones. Maybe you've lost loved ones to this virus. So many things have happened. Life is different, and I don't believe it'll ever be back to the same way that it was before. So where are you? Where's your mind this morning? Do you feel as God is punishing you? Do you feel as God is testing you? Do you feel abandoned by God? Jeremiah did. You know, if you feel that way, you need to be honest with God how you're feeling. Don't try to hide what you're feeling. Don't try to pretend that everything's okay when it's not okay. Go to the Lord in prayer. Go to Him with your needs. And as I was studying this, I was thinking, many of you all have little children or grandchildren. When that little child gets hurt, when the little child's running and it falls down and it hurts its knee, what does it want to do? They'll run, most of the time, to their mama, right? And they want mama to pick them up and hold them in their arms and to make it okay. That's exactly what God wants you to do. He knows you're hurting. If you're hurting, He knows it. And He knows what you're going through. He wants you to run to Him and trust Him for what He can do for you. Just look at some of the things that Jeremiah said about God. And then later on, he directed his words directly to God. He said, I've seen affliction. I've felt His rod. I feel like He's turned His hand against me. My flesh, my skin, my bones are broken. He surrounded me with bitterness. He put a hedge about me, put heavy chains on me, a burden that I can't hardly stand. Even when I cry and I pray, He doesn't hear me. You ever felt like your prayers weren't going anywhere? You ever feel like God doesn't hear your prayers? He's made my chain heavy, my path crooked. He's been like a bear or a lion just waiting for me to come around the corner to pounce on me. He's bent his bow back. And imagine this. This is God. He's bent his bow back with an arrow and released him. And he said, I'm the target. You ever felt like the target of God's punishment or his wrath? He has emptied his arrows into me. He's made me to drink wormwood, bitterness, broken my teeth with gravel. And I was studying this, and it made me think of, say you're going to make a cake. Now, I make cakes all the time, and so I really know what I'm talking about here. And that was a joke, so I don't make any cakes. But you take all the ingredients, you put flour and shortening and eggs and all the things, sugar, you put in the bowl and you mix it up. Imagine if you put a cup or two of gravel in there and you mixed that up, you mixed it and you baked the cake in the oven, you iced it. Looks great on the outside, doesn't it? You go to cut a piece of that cake and you start taking a bite of it and you get gravels. And that's what Jeremiah felt like. He said, Lord, you've broken my teeth with gravels. You put the bad things in with the good, and that's all I can handle right now. I can't handle anymore. I don't know what you're doing in my life. My strength, my hope have perished from the Lord. My soul still remembers, and it sinks within me. I hope none of you are feeling that low and that desperate today, but chances are some of you might be. And especially somebody who might be listening online, who might watch this later, who might come across it. And maybe they're just so down with things that are going on in the world, things that are going on in our nation. We're living in a time where evil is called good. And if you don't conform to that, then you're canceled. And you can't do anything, and you're ostracized. You've got to accept the new norm, and we can't as Christians accept the new norm. So what's that going to do? That's going to bring about persecution. We better get ready for it, because we are going to be persecuted if we take a stand for the Word of God. We're going to be persecuted for our faith. That's coming. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared, and we need not be surprised when it happens. Jeremiah was down. He was depressed, and he was at the end of his rope. And he knew that there was probably 30 more years of this judgment before things would start turning around. And you may be thinking, you know, that's not much hope, 30 years to wait. But listen, if you're a child of God, whatever you're going through, I don't know what you're going through, but I know that God does know what you're going through. And it is going to be okay. And it's going to be all right, because the one who promised you that he would take care of you and never leave you or forsake you, he's faithful. And whatever you're going through, it's temporary. It might last the rest of your life, but that's temporary. There's better things coming. And we have to understand that there are better things are coming. Let's look on to the rest of the scripture that we're going to, starting in 21. Jeremiah has a change of heart. He has a change of mind. He begins to take the focus off of himself and his problems and his issues and his trials and his troubles, and he begins to remember the goodness of God. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for salvation of the Lord. Even amidst all the trouble, all the judgment, all the things that were going on in Jeremiah's life and in the nation of Judah, Jeremiah said, wait a minute. It is bad. I am depressed. I am down. I am discouraged. I feel like I'm abandoned, but wait a minute. God is faithful. Can anybody agree with me that God is faithful this morning? It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how hard it is. It matters to you. I understand that. But God is faithful. So what we need to do, we need to take our focus off of our situation and our surroundings and refocus on our God. That will change your perspective. That will change your life. once you take the focus off of your problems and put them on your God. You'll know that even in the midst of heartache and trouble and trials, it's going to be okay. I want to cover some scriptures with you. You might want to write these down so you can go back and read them later. Places that God has proved that He is faithful. In His Word, things that He said about being faithful. The first one is Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. God is faithful in keeping His covenant, in keeping His Word. Listen to what it says. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. When you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, admitted that you were a sinner, asked Him to save you from your sin, you repented of your sin and asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, He made a covenant with you. And He said, I will keep that covenant. I will be your God. You will be my child. He said, and even Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. If anybody comes to me, I will in no way ever cast them out. That's a covenant that God made with you. He's faithful in keeping His covenant. He is going to keep His word to you regardless of what happens in your life, regardless of how down and discouraged you get. God is a covenant keeper. He's faithful in those who He chooses. Look at Isaiah 49:7. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and His Holy One, to him who man despiseth, to him who the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and He shall choose thee. Do you understand that God chose you? Before He spoke the worlds into existence, before He said, let there be light, before He created any animals, before He created the seas and the land and separated and hung the stars in heaven, He chose you. He made a conscious decision for you to be part of His family, to see His glory, to enjoy Him, and to be in His presence forever. He chose you. Now, when you start feeling discouraged and depressed and down, remember that God chose you. That should lift up your spirits. That should help you to get through no matter what you're going through. God chose you. He wanted you. He wanted you to be part of His family. And you may be here or listening and you say, well, I'm not a Christian. You can be. He chose you. All you have to do is accept it. Lord, I accept your salvation through Jesus Christ, the only way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through Jesus. He chose you before He created the world. He chose you. He's faithful in the fact that He chose you, and He's faithful in His covenant keeping. He's also faithful in fellowship. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. When He chose you and He called you and He made this covenant with you, He said, I'm going to make you part of my family. Not an adopted servant, not a hired servant or anything like that. I'm going to make you part of my family. You're going to be a joint heir with my only Son, Jesus Christ. He has made you joint heirs with Jesus. Yeah, I know we have things that we can let get us down sometimes. I know we have problems. I know we have issues. I know we have things that discourage us. We have pain. We have heartache. But you, if you're a child of God, are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And that doesn't mean that He's going to get a large portion of it and you're going to get a little bit. No, you're joint heirs. You're going to get an equal share of what Jesus has for all of eternity. You're joint heirs. He's faithful in covenant. He's faithful in choosing. He's faithful in fellowship. He's faithful in temptation. You know, we're all tempted from time to time. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." A lot of people get this verse wrong. A lot of people will read that verse, and you've heard people say, and I've heard people say, it says in the Bible, God won't put more on you than you can bear, and they'll cite this verse. That's not what it says. God says that there won't be any temptation coming to your life that he won't make a way for you to escape it. He won't allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear. He didn't say he would put more on you. He didn't say that you'll ever have some, because somewhat, guess what? Sometimes things come in your life, you can't bear them. You don't know how to bear them. You're not able to bear them. You have to cry out to him and say, "Lord, I need you." He's faithful in not allowing you to be tempted more than you can handle. And then he gives you a way of escape. He's faithful in sanctification. Now that sanctification, that's just a churchy word that means set apart for special use. In the temple, they had vessels that they used just for the temple worship. Cups and saucers and plates and things. They were sanctified. They were set apart only to be used in the temple in service to God. If you're a child of God, you're sanctified. You are chosen before the foundation of the world. You were redeemed. You were bought with a price. And now you're set apart for a special use. What is your special use? That's between you and God for you to find out. But you have one. You have something that God wants you to do. He has set you apart. He has sanctified you. And he wants to use you for that certain specific use that he only wants you to do. It's different from somebody else. It's different from your brothers or sisters or your cousins and your mom and your dad. It's unique to you. Are you fulfilling your sanctification in being used in the way that God wants you to be used? Maybe that has a lot to do. If you're not, maybe that has something to do with why you're down and downtrodden and discouraged. Because God will not let you be happy outside of his will. And if you're not in his will, he wants you to be in his will, and he wants to set you apart for that special use. You are a chosen vessel set apart for his pleasure and his will. God is faithful to keep you. He not only chose you, made a covenant with you. When he makes a covenant, he keeps his word. He cannot lie. He cannot go back on his word. He's faithful in keeping you. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." Many translations you might be reading today will say, "keep you from the evil one." Once God saves you, he will keep you from Satan. Now, that doesn't mean that Satan can't influence your life, but it means he can't possess you. He can't take you. He can't do anything to you unless God allows him to do it to you. He is protecting you. Remember what Jesus told Peter? He said, "Peter, the devil is trying, he wants you, he just has desired you to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you." Don't you think Satan wants the same thing for all of us? He wants us to tear us apart, to tear our testimony down. He wants to get you down to the point that you're so low that you can't serve God. You don't want to serve God. You want to, in fact, blame God for things that are going bad in your life. And Satan is thrilled to death when we have that attitude. Satan desires you so that he can sift you like wheat. The Bible says he's a roaring lion walking to and fro on the earth, seeking whom he might devour. But Jesus said, "I've prayed for you, and I'm going to keep you from the evil one." When Satan afflicted Job, he had to get permission from God first. He cannot do anything to you or me as one of God's children unless he goes through God. Now, sometimes God allows him access to our lives to bring trials upon us. We have to trust God through that. So he's going to keep us. God is faithful even when we're faithless. There's many times our faith is so small. We don't understand what's going on. We don't trust God like we should. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Even when you don't believe, even when things are going on in your life and you're saying, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't believe God's going to work, get me out of this. I'm going to be like this forever. This is going, you know, and we get to thinking all these things are permanent and it's going to happen, and we don't have the faith. We don't trust in God. He says, even when we're faithless, he's still faithful. He's faithful in his promise of salvation to anyone who would believe. Hebrews 10:23 says, let's hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise from God, and he's faithful. And when he makes a promise or a covenant with somebody, he keeps it. And he says, I will in no wise cast anybody out, and I'm going to promise you that this salvation is going to be to all who will believe. So hold fast your profession of faith. Here's one we all need. He's faithful in the forgiveness of sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If any of you say you're without sin, the Bible says you're a liar and the truth is not in you. So we all have sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. But if we're saved, we will want to confess our sin daily to God and say, Lord, I failed you again today, this many times today. Would you forgive me? Of course he will. You're his child. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you with a permanent love. And he's never going to leave you, and he's never going to forsake you. He'll forgive your sins. Don't try to hide your sins from God. He knows them. Best thing to do is go tell him, Lord, I messed up. Bad. I did this today. I did that. He says, I know. Well, Lord, will you forgive me? He said, I already did. But he wants us to come and talk to him, to be open, to be transparent. He knows anyway. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. He's the faithful witness. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He's the faithful witness standing in heaven as an intercessor between you and me and the Father. We can't approach the Father on our own. We have to have someone to approach on our behalf. That's Jesus Christ. He's the faithful witness. When we come and we say, Father, I need you, I love you, I praise you, we have to go through his son, Jesus. Jesus turns and says, Father, I'm a witness that this is one of my children. Would you hear him? Would you hear her today? Would you honor this prayer that they have? He's the faithful witness. He stands in our place in heaven, pleading to the Father for us. He's faithful in truth. Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus Christ is truth. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. There is no truth apart from him. He's faithful. Everything he says is true. It'll always be true. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, forevermore. There's a lot of people who say now that, well, when the Bible was written, you know, this thing might have been appropriate back then, but today we've become more enlightened. We've become more educated. And it just doesn't apply anymore. Well, that's a bunch of bull. Because the Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change. Now, there's a lot of us, when that's said about us, that means that we're stubborn. Well, I'm just not going to change. I don't care what you say. You know, we have that kind of attitude. That's not what it implies with God. When you have a change of an opinion about anything, that means that you have gained some knowledge that you didn't have before. And now you're making a decision based on the current knowledge, the new knowledge that you have learned, or you see that what you did in the past was wrong, or someone has given you counsel and advised you and said, well, you know, here's something that I've learned that you didn't know, and you become more educated, and maybe your opinions change. And that happens to us. A lot of things that we believe today, we didn't believe years ago, but with more understanding, we do. But see, God doesn't change because there's no new information that he's going to gather. There's nobody that's going to give him counsel and explain to him why what he was thinking is not right. He's the same yesterday. Today, he's perfect. There's nothing new that God is going to learn to make him change his mind. So if it was sin in the first century or in Jeremiah's time back before Christ, guess what? It's still sin today. If it was sin in the Garden of Eden, it's sin today. If it was sin when God handed down the Ten Commandments, it's still sin today. It doesn't matter how much we change and how much we want to call things good that are evil and against God's word, and no matter how society is going to oppress you and persecute you, if God said it was sin, it's still sin. It hasn't changed. God is faithful in truth. And he's faithful in righteousness and judgment. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Jesus Christ is the faithful and true judge. He's righteous. He's coming back. He's faithful in the fact that he's coming back. He said he was coming back. That's a covenant that he made with us. He said, if I go away, I'm going to come back. So he promised that he's coming back. So if we believe that he's faithful in keeping his word, then we believe that he's coming back. And I believe he's coming back soon. Maybe in our lifetime. Just look at the condition of Israel and Judah before their judgment came. They were idolaters. They were following false gods. They were totally rebellious against God. Where are we in the United States of America today? We are totally rebellious against God. The Bible says in verse 22 of Lamentations chapter 3, it's only through his mercies that we're not consumed. His compassions fail not. Great is your faithfulness. They're new every morning. When you got up this morning, God had a new set of compassions for you to get you through today. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know who needed this. Somebody needed it. Because God wouldn't impress on somebody to preach a certain message if it wasn't for somebody. Maybe not any of you. Maybe somebody listening. But I want to remind you of some things. I wrote down a few things. I'm going to read them off to you. In good times and in bad times, God is faithful. In a pandemic, God is faithful. When you lose your job, God is faithful. When you're going through a messy divorce, guess what? God is faithful. When your child or your grandchild has thrown their life away on drugs, God is still faithful. When the doctor walks into the room and he looks at you and he says, there's nothing else we can do, God is faithful. In times of political unrest, uncertainty, rebellion, God is faithful. in times of persecution that we're getting ready to face, don't think that it's some strange thing that happened to you. It's going to happen. God is faithful. In times of doubt and fear, God is faithful. In trials and temptations, God is faithful. When you mess up and you're heartbroken, God is faithful. When you're down to your last dollar, God is faithful. When you lose a loved one, God is still faithful. When you don't know where to turn, God is faithful. When you're lonely and alone, God is faithful. When dementia sets in or Alzheimer's sets in on someone you love and they can't recognize you anymore, God is faithful. In wars, rumors of wars, natural disasters, God is faithful. Even when the whole world turns against you, God is faithful. And when you take your last breath, aren't you glad that God is faithful? Somebody needs to let go of some things this morning and turn them over to God. Quit focusing on the things that are going wrong, focusing on the God who is faithful. If you're lost, you need this God in your life. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to come to Him and repent of your sins. Beg Him to be your Lord and your Savior, your God. If you're a Christian, you need to turn your life completely over to Him. Follow Him with all your heart. Trust Him because He's faithful. Our God is faithful. I'm going to ask Mackenzie and Angie to come. We're going to sing a song of invitation. If you need to come, come and pray. Come and talk to one of us. Morris will be here. I'll be here. But whatever it is this morning, do it for the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You that You are the true and faithful God. You're holy and sovereign and righteous, and no matter what we face, Lord, You're with us. Lead us and guide us, Lord. Save those that are lost. Touch those, Lord, that need a touch from You this morning. And Lord, we'll give You all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Won't you come?
Information for that will be given. Looks like it's going to be starting on the 23rd at 10 a.m. each Tuesday and 6 p.m. each Tuesday. So if that's something that interests you, let us know, and we'll be happy to get you signed up for it. But if not, like Terry said, remember to set your clocks back next week. Forward, not back. Forward. I'm hoping that as we set it forward, it'll stay darker longer and my kids will sleep longer in the mornings, because this getting up at 6 o'clock when the sun comes up is not going well. So let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, God, we thank You for this day, Lord. Thank You for all that You've given us. God, just thank You for Your faithfulness, Lord. Thank You no matter what life throws at us, that You're always going to be there with us, God. You're never going to forsake us as long as we have You in our life, God. And that before the creation of the world, You chose us, God, and You want us, and You want us to be a part of Your family, Lord. We just have to be faithful to listen to You, know that You're always going to be there. Be with everybody as they go throughout their week, Lord. Just keep us all safe and healthy, God, and just continue to watch over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.